Blog Talk Radio.
The Four Persons, Inc. is a federally registered and licensed 501c3 charity. Any use of any of our content without our permission is prohibited by law. Our purpose is evangelization, education, and social action. Please go to our website at thefourpersons.com or our blog site at thefourpersons.net to make your tax-deductible donation by credit or debit card. You can also send a check to The Four Persons, Inc., P.O. Box 11214, Manassas, Virginia, 20113. To contact us, send us an email at email@thefourpersons.com. You are listening to Lisa Marie Nicole's Rocking for God show on the Four Persons Network. Lisa is an award-winning Catholic contemporary recording artist. Her music can be found at lisamarienicole.com. Her aim is to spread the joy and mission of Christian music and spotlight others who do the same. To call into tonight's show, the number is 515-602-9655. That number, again, is 515-602-9655. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Lisa.
Good afternoon, everyone. I hope you are having a blessed weekend. Welcome to Rockin' for God with Lisa Marie Nicole. I am Lisa Marie, and before we get started, I just would like to all of us to please keep Israel in our prayers today. I want to read the scripture for this show. Psalm 98:4 says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and praise." I have a great show for you tonight. I have Catholic EWTN author, speaker, and musician, Deacon Harold Burke-Serros coming on. During the show, if anyone would like to call in with a question, you can at 515-602-9655. Okay, now let's get started. You there, Deacon?
I am here.
How
congratulations
you doing?
On the show. This is great.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I learned from the best. How's everything going?
Busy but good. You know,
yeah.
You know how I roll. You know,
I do.
Just traveling a lot, speaking. My new book just came out last Friday.
Great.
My sixth book, called "Building a Civilization of Love: A Catholic Response to Racism." You know, I've got a lot of good things going on, and but I'm especially pleased to be here with you. It's been really wonderful to have met you a few years ago, and your wonderful husband, Brian, and to see how your ministry has grown over the years and how many people you're touching with your music is just, you know, what a blessing and a gift from God.
Thank you very much. We're going to link the book to our show notes so that way people could know that. But I really appreciate you saying that. Yes, we've been friends for a while, and you've been a blessing to me also. And I learned a lot from you, from your podcast and your ministries. So I just want to ask you some questions tonight so people get an idea of people that I think everybody knows who you are, but the people that don't, I just like, for those of you who don't know who you are, can you just please tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Sure. Again, you said my name is Deacon Harold Burke-Serros. I was born in Barbados in the West Indies to a Catholic mom. And my mom was the first Catholic in our family. She was Methodist and converted to the Catholic faith when she was a teenager. My father was not a person of faith at all. And I'm the oldest child of their marriage, and so I am the first baptized as Catholic because my mom, when I came into the church, she was already Christian, you know, so she didn't have to be rebaptized, just confirmation of First Communion.
Yeah.
And so when we moved to the United States, it was very important that my mom felt it was very important we have a Catholic education. So grade school, high school, college, graduate school, for me, were all at Catholic institutions. And, you know, I thought I had a vocation to monastic life. I did a come-and-see program at my high school, St. Benedict's Prep in Newark, run by the Benedictines there. And I ended up after college joining the community and discerned that God was not calling me to that and met my wife. And she's from Oregon, moved out here, discovered the diaconate, had a law enforcement career, which I left in 2012 to speak and write full-time. And been doing that ever since.
That's a great – you have an unbelievable bio. I love a people – it's unbelievable background. I knew a lot about you, but there's a couple of things I didn't that you mentioned. So that's great. Some people do not know that you're also a musician. Can you please tell us how and when you started playing music and if you still do today?
Sure. So first of all, let me say this, that what I do now as a professional speaker – an author traveling around the world, been to 31 countries, I very, very much treat what I'm doing and my vocation and my work in the Lord's vineyard, I approach it just like a musician. I still call them gigs. You know, when I'm writing books, it's like writing a song. You know, when I'm on the road, it's like touring. You know,
That's cool.
I still very much have that musician's mentality and heart. So my father was a professional musician, singer, and songwriter. He was a calypsonian. So for those of you who are not from the Caribbean, calypso music is kind of like the Caribbean version of R&B, if you will.
Yeah.
He was a very popular singer and songwriter. Music was a natural part of growing up in our house. And I am self-taught on guitar.
Me too.
And singing was, you know, it was really listening to all the music back in the 70s, especially Queen. You know, I'm a huge Queen fan.
Prince.
And you know, those harmonies, like the way I learned to sing, like for example, Jealousy off the Jazz record. You know, I would listen to those harmonies and I would pick, you know, and I'm going back a few years here, pick the needle off the record and put it back. And sing like I sing the alto part, and then I back it up and sing the tenor part, and then put it back and sing the mezzo soprano part, and then bring it back. So I'd sing each different parts of the harmonies I could hear, and not only did that help me develop an ear for music, but also helped me develop a singing range and understanding of the complexity of harmony and rhythm in music. It was a beautiful time. I mean, I every single day I listened to music. I played in a band in high school, just like a little garage band. And music, to this very day, has been a very, very integral and important part of my life.
Well, since we're on the subject of that, I have a question from your brother, Brian. He wanted me to ask you this question. From a biblical standpoint, can you explain the importance of music in worship of God in the Old Testament and how in our worship in the Mass we should participate in song, giving God his glory, surrendering to our Creator in adoration and with thanksgiving? You know that he wrote that.
That's a big question. Okay, let's tackle it this way.
Easy. Come on.
Well, no. So it's a first of all, music was extremely important to the worship in Israel, and the worship hymn, the worship manual was the Psalms, the Sefer Telachim in Hebrew, or the Book of Sung Praises, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Book of Sung Praises, Sefer Telachim. Mm-hmm. So the Psalms were always meant to be sung, to be chanted. Even Benedictines, Cistercians, and many other monastic communities of monks and nuns still chant and sing most of the Liturgy of the Hours, the hymns. So singing and music was very important. We see even in the Old Testament, as well as the New Testament, the choirs of angels singing, praising God. You know, most people are familiar, of course, with the the Book of Revelation with the choirs of angels singing. And, of course, during the birth of Jesus on Christmas, the shepherds and the angels and the choirs of angels came and they were singing. And in the Old Testament, we see that as well, that we see angels singing and we see the people worshiping and chanting with songs of praise. So music is extremely important in the life of worship. So today in the church, see, here's the thing. We can't be myopic when it comes to music.
Mm-hmm.
Look, if you don't like the praise and worship band, then don't go to that mass. You know, go to the Gregorian chant mass or go to whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But,
yep.
But don't let music become an enemy of worship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as the music is honoring God and not yourself.
Thank you.
I think that's where the big rub is. That's where the big rub is. People say, well, I don't like guitar masses or guitar music because that's not really worshiping God. Well, hold on. If you don't like that style, that's one thing. But to just flat out critique it without listening to the words, what are the words saying? Are the words reflecting our submission before God's authority? Is it reflecting our life of praise and worship of the infinite God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Or are
we
praising ourselves? That's the criteria that
and
we should be looking
coming,
to. Not,
coming
you know,
from
if,
me.
Again, if you don't like that style, go to a different mass with different music, something that touches you, that moves you, that draws you deeper into the worship experience, that unites your heart more deeply and intimately with the heart of the living God. That's what music should do. In fact, St. Augustine said, he who sings prays twice.
That's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So music should be an important and integral part of worship.
And coming from me, as I sing Christian rock, and I'm also a cantor in the church, so I do both. So I understand where you're coming from with that. But I just want to let you know, we have a caller coming in. His name's Lewis from Pennsylvania. He has a question for you.
I
okay,
don't want to make this fast, but I never thought I would see the day when I would meet you, Deacon Harold. I'm amazed that...
Oh, it's wonderful to be with you. Thank you.
I'm subscribed to your YouTube channel. And, you know, back when I was in college, I discerned before marriage, you know, the diaconate. Since I already know I want to be married, and I have a strong religious call, I thought about becoming a deacon, and then I saw your videos. You know, in your videos, you also describe a dual calling. But besides the point, I'm a young Catholic apologist. What do you recommend I do to learn the Catholic faith in and out in a way that I could explain it to Protestant criticizers? What is a source, a school that I can go to learn the Catholic faith fully?
All right. Thank you. That's a great question. I would say three things. Okay, there's three different paths you can go. All right. Number one, if you're not interested in formal study, like a degree, like a formal degree in theology or apologetics, then I would say number one, Catholic.com, Catholic Answers, has the mm-hmm. best resources anywhere for Catholic apologetics as a whole. I mean, that their whole mission is dedicated to that. And they're starting kind of a school of evangelization where you can take online courses. Again, not formal academic education like a college or graduate level degree, but you can take courses to become a Catholic apologist.
Huh.
They have a video series, and Jimmy Akin and Trent Horn and Tim Staples and Carla Broussard and all those guys are part of that, you know. So that's one thing you could do. Number two is to pursue a graduate level degree, right? So online, there's a lot of great institutions: Franciscan University of Steubenville, Augustine Institute, Catholic Distance University. Those are three very, very good online options, all faithful to the magisterium and the teaching authority of the church. And you can kind of work at your own pace in order to get your degree that way. And third would be, you know, formal study. Like you go to a Catholic university and pursue a graduate degree that way. So either one of those three things would work for you. Again, you got to look at your life, you got to look at your marriage, your family, your schedule, your work, and figure out which one would fit into the, your life and the balance and still keeping balance and perspective in your life, remembering that your marriage is first, right? Your relationship with God is first, then your marriage, and then everything else after that. But the fact that you have a heart that wants to be able to defend the faith is great. And there's also a great large number of YouTube videos, Catholic apologists who have YouTube channels where you can learn Catholic apologetics or pick up tips and things about how to defend the faith. I do that all the time. I don't watch TV, but I watch YouTube videos to kind of pick up different ways to articulate or to say something, you know, and I'm constantly growing and learning my faith that way as well. Is that helpful?
Lewis, you still there? I think we lost him.
Okay. Well, hopefully he heard that answer.
Can you hear me? Can you
yeah.
hear me, Deacon?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I
was kind of muted as soon as you answered my question. Yes, that helps. And again, I'm amazed that you're here and that I actually got to meet you. Again, Ave Maria, it's amazing to hear from you and how much you do for the church. You give life to the role of the diaconate in the sense that you really got yourself out there in that role. People sometimes forget that the diaconate is part of the threefold holy orders, you know, deacon, priest, and bishop. And in a way, it's good to be humble because, you know, unlike deacons who are allowed to at least be married prior to the ordinations, priests, as they practice anyway in the church, are not allowed to. But it's good to get the diaconate out there so we can so people can understand that it's a threefold ministry. And I think it's a beautiful thing, and I admire you for that, Deacon Harold.
Well, thank you, Lewis. I appreciate it very much. And you know, I never intended to speak and to write full time to leave my law enforcement career. But back in 2011, I was in the Adoration Chapel, and the Lord put it on my heart for me to leave my career and to speak and to write full time on the Catholic faith. And I fought God for a year trying to talk him out of it. And finally, you know, I just succumbed to God's will and said, ultimately, look, Lord, whatever you want is whatever I want. You know, I'm a clean slate. Use me however you see fit. And when I finally let go of my anxiety, of my stress, of my worry, then that's when, you know, and I made the decision to leave. That's when God opened up all kinds of doors. And so I'm doing things now that I never would imagine that I'd be doing, you know, speaking at the Vatican, deaconing for the Pope, writing books, you know, touring 31 countries, doing radio and nine television series on EWTN. And but the beautiful thing is I wake up every morning saying, man, I can't believe I get to do this again today. You know, so it really is a blessing.
Okay.
It's wonderful.
Okay, thank you. Do you have any more questions, Lewis, for him? Okay, I guess he's done then.
Lewis, I'll keep you in my prayers. You keep discerning God's will for your life. And don't forget, always discuss these things with your wife and make sure that she's part of that decision. Because I tell you, and I'm sure Lisa confirm this as well, without the support of her husband, she can't do, without Brian, she can't do the things that she's doing now. It's the same thing with me. Without the love and support of my wife,
that's right,
I cannot do the things that I'm doing now. You know, because remember, in the marriage, it's a mutual covenant, mutual gift of self, of self-giving, self-sacrificing love. And you know, it's just like, not like, oh, well, God's calling me to do this, you know, therefore I have to make the decision. No, it's us and we. Remember, the two of you are one flesh. So don't ever forget to always have your wife's input, love, and support in everything you're doing.
And that's exactly what you do, you, Deacon. I know you do those, I know you speak a lot about the family, and you've done that at our church, and I got a lot out of that. You know a lot about this.
That's
beautiful.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. So if, I guess we can move on then. Thank you, Lewis, for coming on and asking him a question. If he's still there. I just wanted to ask you something real quick. I have a couple other ones, but I know you already talked about what music you listened to growing up. You already got into that a little bit. Did you have any favorite artist that you followed or you follow besides me? Who's your favorite artist besides me?
Yeah. I mean, there are other artists besides you. What? I didn't know that. No. No. So as a guitar player, right, I listen to different styles, especially guitar type music. So I played the jazz band in college, and I also played in an R&B band. You know, so we played all kinds of
cool
R&B, Prince, everything from Prince to Chic to, you know, that kind of stuff. But I also like stuff like Dream Theater, you know,
yeah,
like a kind of progressive rock kind of stuff. I like Metallica. I like Niccolo Paganini, Concerto in D minor, who was an amazing violinist. I'm a huge Eddie Van Halen fan. You know,
wow.
I mean, so Joe Pass, you know, the great guitar player, Wes Montgomery,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I listen to Pat Metheny, you know, so a lot of different, C. Ray Vaughan, you know, God rest his soul. You know, all those types of players had influences on me and allowed me to really appreciate the depth of music,
yeah.
you know, and in a sense, music to me is like prayer. So it was, I think that's why I was naturally attracted to the Benedictines, because a lot of the office is sung. And so that natural connection with music and prayer, which were two very, very important things in my life growing up, you know, prayer, my prayer life fostered by my mother. When I saw her devotion to her very, she had a very simple faith, but you know, I saw how prayerful she was, and she tried to impart that beautiful prayer life into our lives, to her children's lives. And that combined with music, I think naturally attracted me to Benedictine life. And, like I said, I did the Come and See program during high school. And then after college, I joined the Benedictines for, you know, as I was discerning a call for them. And I still live a very, very deep Benedictine spirituality in my life every day.
Mm-hmm.
I love praying the Liturgy of the Hours, and most of it I sing. I pray parts of it in Latin and some even in Hebrew. And so I try to sing as much of it as I can, because I still love the beauty and the rhythm of those psalm tones, of the chant. You know, it just kind of takes my prayer life to a whole nother level.
That's beautiful.
I just absolutely love it.
We got to collaborate on something. That would be beautiful down the road.
That'd be fun.
I have one more question before I have John ask something. I know you travel all over the world as part of your speaker and ministry. What was your most favorite place that you went to, country or state that you visited, and why?
Oh, boy. That's easy. Papua New Guinea.
Wow, really?
I was just there this past July. This year I was in Croatia, Bosnia Herzegovina, Montenegro, Slovenia, and Italy. And then later in the year, this past summer, I was in New Zealand, Papua New Guinea, and Australia. When I got to Papua New Guinea, it was just, I mean, I thought, okay, here they're having this 3-day conference and I'm going to be speaking to Catholics, right? So, but I got off the plane. I got off the plane, me and Charbel Raish, who is the president of Perusia in Australia. I travel many, many countries with him. And we got off the plane into the jetway, and there's an airport official with a vest on, like a, you know, a fluorescent vest. And she goes, I'm going to escort you. I'm like, oh, great. So we walk up the jetway, and then there's like news cameras and reporters and photographers. I'm like, what the heck is going on? And then we meet the guy who brought us, you know, who invited us to come to the country to speak. And he goes, yeah, just take your passports and your boarding pass and your baggage claim and give them to these people over here. And there's these other airport officials in suits. And I'm like, well, wait, what about immigration? And all? No, just we'll take care of it. Just hand everything to them and we'll take care of it. Okay, so I hand my stuff to these guys, and next thing, we're going over here. So we go into this room, and in this room was the Papal Nuncio, the head of the Bishop's Conference, the wife of the Prime Minister,
Wow.
And I'm like, wait, what is going on here right now? And so we have a few minutes when I'm meeting everybody, and they said, we're going to have the official greeting of the country. So we go to the back of the airport, walk down these stairs, and then there's like 200 Papua New Guinea folks, indigenous, in their traditional garb and their traditional celebratory outfits, and they give us an official welcome to the country, which was absolutely beautiful. And so then after that official greeting, we get into these vehicles, these vans, and we start driving. And I realize it's not just, they didn't just pick us up. This is a motorcade.
Like, wow.
There's a pilot car. There's a rear car. Police are blocking traffic, and we're just flying through the streets. I'm like, what the heck? And so we go to the Bishop's Conference Complex, and inside is a full-on press conference. This on national news. People are texting me from Texas and from Idaho. Hey, you're on NBC right now. And I'm like, what? And they said, yeah, he's here to help reawaken a nation. I said, reawaken it? I thought I was here to talk to Catholics. It was just.
Yeah, right.
And I had like police escorts everywhere. It was just unbelievable, the reception.
That must have been a feeling.
It was fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, God's using you in so many ways. It's incredible. Let me ask this question. John asked me, he wants to know, what you think of the online courses offered by Christendom College?
Which school?
Christendom College.
Oh, Christendom?
Christendom.
In
I said
Virginia?
It wrong. Sorry. Yeah.
Oh yeah. They're outstanding. They're outstanding. The only reason I didn't mention them, because they have a language requirement.
Oh.
If you want to get a master's, don't forget, if you want to do a master's degree, you have to do like Latin or Greek or something
Wow.
like that. And it's not 100% online. You also have to go to the school part of the time in the summer and take a course there as well. So that's the other. Christendom is absolutely rock solid, beautiful school, but their requirements are a little tougher than the normal online course, which is the only reason I didn't mention them.
Okay. I thought I had somebody on now. All right. I'll ask you one more question. I think somebody's coming on. I want to know, you wear many hats, so you do a lot of things. What do you love most about what you do, about your apostolate, your ministry, everything? What do you love most about it, Ger?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think people would think, let me say it like this, Lisa. What I don't like is the attention that I get.
Okay.
And I'm just being completely honest. I mean, because the reason why I'm doing this is for God, not for me, but yet, I mean, it's again, using the music analogy, it's like when I met Eddie Van Halen, I met him once. Okay.
Wow.
Cause I was working backstage, I was my law enforcement capacity, and I was in uniform when I met him, and I was just like a little kid all geeked out, and like, here's a guy who really, because it wasn't just a matter of him as one of the greatest rock guitar players of all time, which no one disputes. I mean, it wasn't just that, but it was the way he made me think and feel about music, and it was just a great thing. So but it's hard for me to imagine myself as someone. Can one person call me the Eddie Van Halen of the Catholic speaking? I'm like, whoa, hold on, no. But the fact that people would say that, or they think of me that way, is just really hard for me to understand, because I don't think or see myself that way at all. I just see myself, again, using music. I'm just a musician. I'm just the instrument. God is a musician.
That's right.
So I'm
that's,
just trying
that's
to
how
be
I
a
feel.
Finely tuned instrument in God's hands. That's all I'm trying to do. But I guess what I like the most is knowing that I'm doing God's will. That's really the favorite part. So yeah, whether I'm doing radio, whether I'm doing television, whether I'm writing a book, whether I'm on a speaking tour, or blog, or whatever it is that God is calling me to do, I always want to make sure that it's what God wants, not what Deacon Harold wants, but what God how God wants to use me as his faithful and an unworthy instrument.
Yeah, and it takes a while to get there. I mean, you know, I understand what you're talking about. It's we have to let him take over, and it's not about us. You know, that's what you have to keep I keep telling myself. Everything you do, like this podcast, is about him. All of this is about him. And I'm so glad that I had you on, because you're perfect for this. You're everything that I was looking for this show. So I'm really blessed that you're on here. But I have Josie from Chicago that wants to ask you a question.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, it's nice to talk.
Hi.
Are you coming to Chicago?
I'm going to be in Rockford, Illinois, doing a parish mission at the end of the month, beginning of November.
Oh, that's only pretty far from me. I've seen you in Chicago. I hope maybe one day you come out here.
I'd love to. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Josie.
Oh, she didn't have a question?
Okay. I think she just wanted to ask you to come to Chicago.
Oh, okay.
You got to put that on your list now, because you've been everywhere else. But that's my next question. That's great, because it led up to my next question. Is there any place in the world that you haven't been that you want to go? And I'm not. And I'm talking about to speak or to anything like that. Where do you want to go that you haven't been?
India is
wow,
number
really?
One on my list. Yeah, I was supposed to go to India and Sri Lanka. I was invited by Cardinal Sanjith to come and speak there, but COVID-19 messed it all up. So the pandemic just ruined all my plans, and there hasn't been an opportunity to reschedule yet. So India is definitely number one on my list to get to. There's a lot of wonderful Catholic priests that I've met in the United States that come from India, particularly the areas of Kerala and Goa, which are two very strong Catholic areas in India. So I would just love there and experience the people and the culture and the life of the church in India, especially also the Syro-Malabar Rite, which is a beautiful rite that they celebrate in India. Absolutely love that.
Yeah, I know a lot of the priests are from that area that you just mentioned here in our area. But there's a lot of Catholic areas in India. And nobody else calling. I have
St. Thomas was one of the ones that brought the faith to India. And you know, so I would just love to go there and experience. Now, I've been to Malaysia, which has heavy Indian influence because a lot of Indians live there. But I want to go to the motherland, right? to India herself and to experience. And I know there's we have to pray for them. There's a lot of churches being burned, there's a big attack on religious faith, Christian faith there in India. So we have to pray for those folks and China. You know, I'd love to go to China, but I don't know how realistic that's going to be, given the fact that basically the communists are running the church there now. So, but I would just love to go just to help encourage the Catholics who want to be faithful to the church and not to the government, you know. But I don't know. We'll see what God has in store.
Well, that's great, because that leads into my next question. For those of listening followers that aren't Catholic, what do you love most about being Catholic and the Catholic faith? Besides the Eucharist.
Wow, that's a great question.
There's got to be other things.
Yeah. No, I think the thing is this. One thing that the human heart longs for is truth and goodness and beauty. And truth is not an idea you form in your mind. Truth is not a philosophical construct. Truth is a person. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? So it's aligning my life with Jesus Christ. And why your question is so great, Lisa, is that in our culture today, people are trying to identify, right? You know, they're allowing cultural constructs and moral relativism to shape who they are. So they identify with a religious, with a political party. They identify with a particular religious ideology.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about like Catholic or Protestant, but I'm just, you know, a way of expressing religion that where they kind of pick and choose what they want and live their faith the way they see fit, not according to the teachings of the church. So the thing is, for example, they'll say to me, well, you're a black Catholic. And I will say, no, I'm not. I'm a Catholic who's black. Well, wait a minute. What do you mean? Are you denying your black identity? Well, no. But when I die and stand before Jesus Christ, he's not going to ask me how black I am.
Yeah, right.
He's going to say, wait a minute. I gave you three talents. I gave you fatherhood. I gave you being a husband. I gave you the diaconate. Where's my 30-fold, 50-fold, 100-fold return on the investment I made in you? You know, did you pick up your cross and follow me? Even when it was difficult, even when you were being ridiculed, even when it wasn't popular, did you pick up your cross? That's what he's going to ask me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so what is my identity? My identity is not with a political party or what gender I am. I am a loyal son of the living God.
Amen.
A brother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is my identity. I have a divine identity in Jesus Christ, not in the culture. That's who I am. Now, that doesn't mean I love my black heritage. I love my Caribbean heritage. I love our food. I still love our music. I still speak our dialect. I love everything about being black. I thank God every day, but that doesn't define who I am.
Amen.
I'm first and foremost a Catholic. Someone who follows and willing to lay my life down for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is my divine identity.
I love when I get you going. I love it. Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, Brian says that all the time. He says, I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm Catholic. You know, he's no political party, he's Catholic. And I understand where you're coming from with that. But maybe this is a good time right now to take a break and play my new single that was just released. This is Stained Glass Window of the Soul.
Things in this life that make one guess why this world is such a mess. Definition of love.
Wipe away the stain, the start over with that.
You're looking in, I'm looking out of the stainless window of my soul. I'm reaching out, the world's reaching in, but the light of the Lord is blocking all the sin.
That was my new single that was just released this week, actually. And I'm sure you like that violin in there.
Yeah. So let me tell you why what makes your music so unique and so special. There's two things that always strike me about your music, Lisa. Number one, your very distinctive voice. It's like, sometimes you hear something, right? You hear a song like, oh, wait a minute, who's singing that again? Oh, that sounds like, you know, and there are other songs or music, as soon as you hear the first few notes, you know exactly who it is. I remember the first time I heard Beat It by Michael Jackson. Obviously,
yeah.
Had no idea Eddie Van Halen played the solo in that song, but it finally got to the solo. I'm like, oh, my goodness, that's Eddie Van Halen. I mean, you just knew when you heard those first few notes who it was. Your voice is like that. As soon as
wow.
you there's no doubt, no distinction that that's Lisa Nicole. That means, I mean, it's very distinct.
I
Second
really
of all,
appreciate
your
that.
Lyrics. Your lyrics. I mean, dang, like your love is so strong, it blocks all the pain. I mean, people listening to that who are struggling, people who don't know how much God loves them, and then you say love, his love always win. His love will always win. Come on. I mean, that songs like that give people hope. People who are who feel that God doesn't love them, or they can't feel God's presence. They're going through something really difficult. The death of a child, the death of a parent. They're struggling themselves with a cancer diagnosis, or whatever it. Their kids are away from the church. Whatever it is, your music, your lyrics are so relatable, and they give people hope. You know, people can listen like, yes, I felt that. Yes, I've been through that. They're so relatable to the average person in the pew. And that's, I think, makes your music so powerful.
I really appreciate that, Deacon, because you've always told me that. And this is my ministry, and like you. And that's what I aim towards, because you know about the pain I live in. So I deal with that. I do that because I let the Holy Spirit work through me to write the lyrics that will help people that are suffering in times of their life and bring them to Him and know that He is there and He'll help them get through all the bad times in their life. And I really appreciate that, especially coming from you. That's really a blessing of you saying that. I really appreciate that. But keep putting the music out.
The amazing part is you keep doing it over and over and over again. Like every song you release is like, man, it's better than the last one.
You always tell me that.
Like,
I know.
How do you keep coming up with this stuff? I mean, know what that speaks to, Lisa? That speaks to someone who actually lives the faith and doesn't just pay lip service to it. I mean, like a teenager could tell a fake a mile away. They could tell when somebody's just, you know, speaking out both sides of their mouth and is not really truthful, is not really sincere or authentic, you know, but your music shows your music shows forth what's inside of you, you know, and it just comes out through that music. And so it exudes a deep faith, a real love for God. That people can feel that, especially with music, people can feel that. And that's the power of music. It makes you feel something. Like I can still think back now. Whenever I hear Weekend in New England by Barry Manilow, I'm back in seventh grade.
Yeah, right.
with the crush I had on my girlfriend in seventh grade. I still remember that feeling. You know, that's what music does. You know, and that's what you do so well.
I thank you very much. And like if you listen to my other show that I did before this, that's what I talked about, is that it's all through the Holy Spirit. And I don't have – I can't do this on my own. I can't write all these songs and these lyrics myself. I can't do this. It's through him that I do this. He uses me to get this music out there. And I absolutely love it. I love what I'm doing. I love every song that he's given me, every lyric he's given me. And I'm just going to keep putting music out as long as I can, as long as he keeps giving it to me.
You know, Lisa, somebody may be listening to both of us speaking and asking, how do I get there? I mean, obviously, me and you are doing two different things, but in a sense, we're both creating music for the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
In very different ways, but we're creating music for the Lord. And somebody would be asking, well, how do I do that? You know, here's the thing. I think a lot of people aren't living to their full potential because they're afraid.
Yes.
They're afraid of failure. They're afraid of what people think. They're afraid of not being accepted. They're afraid that that it's not going to be good enough. And so they get paralyzed by fear to the point where they don't do anything about it. They don't do anything. And so that great idea they had, that great gift that God wanted to develop in them, can't be developed because they're not cooperating with God's will because they're afraid. But what does 4:19 says? Perfect love casts out all fear. We have to love more than be afraid. Right. When I left my job, I was scared, man. I'm like, how am I supposed to make up the kind of income I was making with a young family, with kids in Catholic school, which is expensive? How am I supposed to do that talking about Jesus? You know, but I said, you know, if the Lord wants me to do this, he'll make it happen. I just have to trust him. And that is scary. That's like jumping off a cliff, like skydiving or something.
Yeah.
It's like, holy cow. You know, I mean, it feels like that. But as the Psalms tell us, the Lord is our light and our help. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Before whom shall I shrink? You know, that's we have to remember, that it's God. It's absolutely right, Lisa. It's God that's doing it, not me, not you. It's cooperation with the will of God.
Of course. I mean, I was blessed to write when I was a child, and I knew down the road I was going to, but I never knew it would be like this. And like you said, my husband's a big supporter of mine for my ministry, and I wouldn't be able to do this without him. So it's big. I'm also, I just want to mention that I'm working as a partner with the Four Persons Network, which, you know, this is this network that you're on. And I've really been blessed to be able to do this show. I thank John for giving me this opportunity because I really think that this is going to be great. I mean, you were my first guest, so you you kicked off my show today, and it's great. I mean, you know, you had people call in and everything, and I hope everybody was hearing everything that you were saying because it was so deep, and you're always in depth. That's what I love about you. You get so deep in the Catholic faith. It's amazing. And you get happy, and you get just so – it is. It's such a good feeling to feel like that when you have God inside of you. It's just a beautiful feeling, and that's how I feel when I write. So it's the same thing. But I just wanted to ask you, do you have any future plans coming up, any international trips or anything coming up soon?
Yeah, I've got so many irons in the fire. So there's going to be an announcement next week by EWTN about a major new project that I'm working. I can't talk about it now, but they're going to make an official announcement next week.
Cool.
And so that's a very, very exciting opportunity to work even more collaboratively with EWTN. So look forward to that announcement next week. My travel schedule is slammed for the rest of the year. Next year is also very busy.
Wow.
I have two back-to-back pilgrimages. One of them is with Father Chris Alar, and we're going to Switzerland and Austria and Germany.
Wow.
And then right on the heels of that, I'm going to be traveling to France with Bishop Joseph Coffey, who is the in the Archdiocese of the Military. And we're going to be doing Warriors of France pilgrimage.
Oh, wow. That sounds
we're gonna
awesome.
Take Joan of Arc and many others, Saint-Michel, and many other places we're going to be visiting. So would love people to come with us on those on the pilgrimage, especially the Warriors of France pilgrimage. I think it's going to be absolutely awesome and amazing. So just go to deaconharold.com and click on the pilgrimages tab, and you'll see all the information there about both pilgrimages.
That sounds great. That sounds like a really great experience. And you're booked up, and you're probably going to have more stuff into 25, most likely.
Well, I'm already booked for Lent. I'm booking for 2026 right now for Lent.
Wow.
Yeah, just I mean, the rest of the year is good. It's fine, but it's just Lent. So 2024 is gone. 2025 is gone for Lent. And so 2026, I'm booking right now for
Lent.
Wow,
you're really blessed, aren't you? Wow.
Well, now the pandemic is over, I get back to actually going out there and speaking.
What
some people have done, Lisa, is they've pivoted away from speaking in person and started doing online. And yes, there's a place for the online stuff. But ultimately for me, you know, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, right? He loved us with his own hands and with his own heart. The word did become flesh to have a Zoom meeting. I mean, Jesus came to be with people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I still believe it's important to go out there and to be with people, to interact personally with people, because we're an incarnate church, right? The word became flesh. We have to see and feel and touch and experience each other, not just through the internet, but in person. So that's why I'm still traveling as much as I do. And with the love and support of my wife, my kids are all adults now. So it's not an issue of being away from the kids, because, you know, they're doing their own thing and working and all that now too. So that's not an issue. And as long as I'm attentive, fully attentive to my wife, and she comes with me occasionally. I mean, she goes where, you know, if she knows my schedule. So if there's someplace she wants to come, she comes with me. If she, you know, she's a psychologist,
so
it's a very busy private practice, so she just can't come with me whenever she wants, because she has clients that need her. So, so it's a good, wonderful, balanced relationship.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that real quick. Do you remember when you had that show during COVID, that Wednesday's
oh,
show
yes.
you had? And you
yes.
had me out as a guest, remember that?
That's right. Yep.
Yeah,
that's right.
That was a great show, because you did, I did the same thing during COVID. I did all of those concerts every week because and I actually had an article written about me in the Catholic News because I did those shows. And so people kept saying, you know, a lot of people were saying, oh, you got to get off of Facebook, you got to get off of this because it's evil. And I said, well, you know what, I'm going to use Facebook for God's will. And I'm going to use Instagram, and I'm going to use YouTube, and I'm going to use all of these platforms that people say are evil or bad, or they're, I'm going to use them, and I'm going to use them for God's will. And that's what I did. I started my ministry. I started doing concerts every week, doing live shows, which I still do. And, yeah, it's good to get back out there, which I'm starting to slowly again. But, you know, it's good. The internet is good too, because you could reach so many other people, like different types of people, like handicapped people, you know, disabled people that don't drive, they can't get out, but a lot of people have internet, so it's good for us
especially
to do
for
it
the
that
music
way
genre. You can reach a lot of people with the internet, because that's how people get their content now, is streaming and listening on their phones, you know, on their devices. So especially for your content, which is the amazing music, you could reach a much larger audience, even international audience, simply by being present. And yet people, oh, those are evil. Well, you know why it's evil? Because there's not enough good people of faith in those social media platforms. You know,
exactly.
And so we need to be there. If St. Paul was still alive, he'd have a Facebook page, he'd have a website, he'd have a YouTube channel, because those are ways to evangelize.
Yep. That's exactly what I'm saying.
But we can use them for good. Absolutely.
And that's what we do. And I continue to do that. And I do it all the time. And I'm not going to stop. That's a way for me to reach, you know. You got people on there that wait for you to come on and do shows. and they wait for you to do, say things or whatever. So yeah, it's really a great way to use it for, to get the word of God out. But I just wanted to ask you a question real quick. I know you before, I know you mentioned this before, but when did you get the calling that you wanted to become a deacon, or if you wanted to get in, you know, when did you get the calling from God?
Yeah, so when I left monastic life, I left because my mother got sick and almost died. And I'm the, when my dad left, I helped my mom take care of the family as the oldest.
Yeah.
And so when she got sick, I was allowed to leave the monastery temporarily for 3 months to take care of my mom until she was able to go back to work. And during that time out of the monastery, I went to a wedding and met the woman who ended up being my wife. So so I didn't leave because, like, oh, I've been living here and I just decided that, you know, I'm not called. I mean, had my mom not been sick, I probably would have stayed in the monastery, quite honestly.
Wow.
But God had a different plan. And so I still felt a pull, a tug, an attraction, you know, even though I left monastic life. I said, what does God call me to next? And so we moved to Oregon. I dived into parish life, and I was on parish council, and I was working at St. Vincent de Paul, and I was doing training altar servers and lectors and finance council and doing all this stuff, and it wasn't enough. And it was during the Easter Vigil Mass, my first Easter Vigil Mass in Oregon at the parish we were attending, and where I felt God calling me to diaconal ministry. Huh. And you know, that was back in 96. So I was accepted in 97, and it's a 5-year program, including a master's degree in theology, which I received from the University of Dallas. And I was ordained in 2002. You know, it's, again, not at that time, not intending to do any speaking or writing or anything. It's just that I was responding to the call to the diaconal ministry that God put on my heart.
And even when you came out to our church to speak, you weren't doing as much as you are now. It's amazing how much God has given you. It's incredible, the stuff that you're doing.
Yeah, what year was that when I was at your place?
I just saw a picture. I just had a picture. I think it might have been – it had to be about 17 maybe. 2017.
Yeah, see, because I was still working. I was only speaking part-time.
Yeah, that's right. You were. Yeah. Yep. And you were.
It's been great.
He is. It's been a long time. I got another question for you. Pork roll or tail of ham? Only Jersey people would know that question.
That's right. Oh my goodness! I just from sentimental readers, I have to go with Taylor Ham.
Didn't they say that pork roll is the South and Taylor Ham's the North?
I'm from North Jersey, right? So
yeah.
And but Taylor Ham is just brings back wonderful memories of Christmas. You know, my mom, she used to make the ham with the glaze on it and stick those cloves in it.
Yeah,
you know,
my
and
mom
stuff
too.
Like that. It was man, that's just. Beautiful memory of Christmas. My mom tried to make it as special as possible for us, and it was just a beautiful memory to have.
It's really great. It's great memories to talk about that. Is there anything else that you would like to talk about or mention anything about yourself? Or I know we're going to post your social media sites, your website, and everything. People know how to get in touch with you. And also your Facebook page.
Yeah. So just the two things, the book, if they're interested in,
yes, the book.
In the book of building a civilization of love, a Catholic response to racism. And then the Warriors of France pilgrimage, which is going to be April 24th through May 3rd, 2024 with again, Bishop Coffey from the Archdiocese of Military. We're going to Paris and Lisieux, Normandy Beach, Mont Saint-Michel, you know, and a bunch of other places too. So would love people to come with me on that.
Well, you never know. Maybe one day you'll see us.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be fantastic.
It's
service, right? To sing and lead the singing at the mass, at masses.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, I could even I could even canter the mass. Yeah, if that's what you mean. I could
do
that. Yep. Yep. Oh, that would be great. Yep. I would love to do that. But I just want to thank you so much for being my first guest tonight. And this is our 250th published show of the Apostolate. So this is really a blessing to have you on. I really appreciate you coming on. And I'm going to be praying for you and praying for everything that you do in the future, that you reach and touch many people, which you always do. And is there anything else you'd like to say before I say my end of prayer?
Well, just I say thank you, Lisa Marie, for having me on. And this is great. And so the link that you gave me, is that where that link is what I can share with people on my social media so they can listen to the show?
Yeah, the link for this show, but the links moving forward for my other shows are going to be different because there'll be different guests on. But the link for this show will be in the archive. So they can listen to it after, which is when most people probably will. But yeah, definitely. And, you know, we'll make sure all your links are posted and everything where everybody can get you and look you up. And if anybody wants to go on any of those trips with you. But I just want to say my end prayer is, Lord, thank you for your gift of music, a universal language that transcends barriers, help us to use it to glorify your name, to find solace during times of distress, and to celebrate your goodness in times of joy. May our hearts always be instruments playing the melody of your love and faithfulness. Amen.
Amen.
And if there's nothing else that that you need to say, then I guess we could call it a night.
Again, thank you for having me on. I want to thank you all the listeners and supporters of Four Persons, and know that you are in my prayers.
Thank you very much, Deacon. God bless you, and I'll be talking to you soon. Thank you, everyone, for listening to my debut show tonight with Deacon Havelberg Sivers. Everyone have a blessed weekend. And this is Lisa Marie Nicole for Rockin' for God.